That should be okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, they salted it.
Yeah, you're feeling
it,
good about it.
It was pre-salted.
Raining now.
Say that again? No. Pre-treated. All good. And it should not have any problems with the throat.
Let's see how long it lasts. Maybe it's going to rain too much.
And so you turn it over to the ice.
Get rid of all the salt first, and then it'll freeze up. And we'll be sleeping here. We'll be walking home.
I'm an optimist. It's in my nature. All right, let's go back. Perek Bet. I just want to do a quick review of the. Did we have a class last week? I think we missed last week, right?
Were you sick?
I was not well last week, right? So 2 weeks.
The week before that, and then 3 weeks.
And we had a class.
What?
We had one class.
1/8/2020. I missed one.
Yeah, we had a class on the 8th. So we're just going to do a quick review of the two items that we discussed in that class, because I think they're important for us moving forward. So starting with Pasuk Chet. V'avner ben ner sar tzva asher l'Shaul lakach et ishboshet ben Shaul v'yavirehu machanayim. While David is in Chevron, Avner ben ner, who we talk about momentarily, but as we know him from the general of Shaul's army, Avner ben Ner took Ishboshet ben Shaul and Vayavireu Machanaim, took him over the Yarden to Machanaim, which is a city on the east side of the Yarden River, of the Jordan River, along the banks of the Yabok River. Is any of this familiar?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at me like a blank screen.
Sorry, I'm not getting it.
Okay.
So again, we're going over the river. Someone else went over the river. I just don't remember who it was.
That was to Grandma's house.
It was to Grandma's house?
Yeah, over the river and through the woods.
That's goodbye.
Okay. First part of the parak, David ascends the throne of Shevet Yehudah. Shevet Yehudah is down in the south. Where? City of Hebron, capital of Shevet Yehudah. That's the first six psukim in the parak, correct? That we did a couple of weeks ago. He asks him, Vitumim, should he ascend the throne? God answers. He said, yes, you should ascend the throne. It's time. Saul's dead. Where should he go? He goes to Hebron. David is now Melech David in Hebron. There he will stay for total of how much time?
7 years.
7.5 years.
Wow.
Okay. Of the 40 years of David's kingdom, he spent 7.5 in Hebron, until after the final stages in the unification of the kingdom under one banner, which takes place in 7.5 years later, and he moves to Yerushalayim, which is a much later story. He's in Hebron. At the same time, and this is what we're reading now, Avner ben Ner, sar tzva asher l'Shaul, lakach et ishboshet ben Shaul v'yavireu machanayim. At the same time, Ishbosheth, Avner, the general of Shaul's army, in the aftermath of Saul's death, together with the death of the three sons of Saul, who were the rightful heirs and logical choices to ascend the throne, lo and behold, they all died with Shaul on the battlefield. Lo and behold, it turns out, there's a fourth son, right? As we talked about. Right. There's a fourth son of Shaul. His name is Ishbosheth. And Ishbosheth is actually a combination of, as he was referred to in Divrei Hayamim, as Ishbaal, right? A man of loyal to his master, the master here being God, or as he's referred to in Shmuel Aleph, the fourth son of Shaul is called Yishvi, Yud Shin Vav Yud, or another way of saying Ish Hashem. Baal, meaning Adon, meaning master. By the time Sefer Shmuel rolls around, already has a negative connotation because it has a connotation of the idolatry of Baal. And so in Sefer Shmuel Bet, Baal gets changed to Boshet, meaning shame. So Ish Baal becomes Ish Boshet. That's the same name.
It's the first we're hearing of.
Well, it's not the first we're hearing of Yishvi. Yishvi we met back in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and Ish Baal we see in Divayamim, but Ish Boshet is new, but is the same person, so it's just a new name. Okay, so Ish Boshet is the fourth son of Shaul, and as we'll see, he's not necessarily the one to take much initiative. Avner ben Ner takes him over to Machanaim. Now, if this is the Jordan River, this is the little creek that runs away from the Jordan River. It's called the Abok. This is where Yaakov met with Lavan, crossed over the Abok River, the struggle with the Sarashal Esav, the angel all night long, saw the camp of the angels, called it Machanaim, names the place Machanaim, the double camp. That's where Machanaim comes from. Okay? Over here. Mm-hmm. So it has historical significance, somewhat. And it is to there that Avner takes Ishbosheth and crowns him king over the kingdom of Saul, because he is the heir to the throne.
Thus, Yehuda? Or that was the idea that it would include Yehuda, even though David had been anointed?
David is not king of Yehuda. Yehuda's out of the picture. Got a split kingdom. I've got Shaul, Ishbosheth ben Shaul, king over whatever territory he can claim, and I have David, king over Judah.
But he recognizes David's...
They're at war with each other. I don't know what they're recognizing. Vayhi mispah hayamim asher... Sorry, I skipped. V'avner b'ner sar tzava asher l'shul l'kachad Ishbosheth ben Shaul v'yavira machanayim v'yam lichayu el ha-gil'ad v'el ha-ashuri v'el Yisrael v'el Ephraim v'el Binyamin v'el Yisrael kulo. And he crowned him king and expanded his reign from the Gilad, which is here on the Jordan, east side of the Jordan, into the area of Asher and Naphtali, up in Lebanon, down to the area of Yisrael, Imek Yisrael, down to Ephraim, which is here in Har Ephraim, down to Binyamin, which is here, and over all of Israel. Now, all of Israel means all of Israel sans Judah, meaning what we identify as Malchut Yisrael later on in Tanakh. Here it's referred to, we always have Yisrael and Judah. That's a classic distinction we've had for generations, we've had since Sefer Yehoshua, this distinction between Yehuda on the one hand and the rest of Israel. At this point or another, there's still, I understand there's still tribes, there's still brothers, there's still cousins, they're still related, but nonetheless, I have a split kingdom. That's life.
Why did in Sefer Yehoshua they separate out?
When we did Yeshua and Shoftim, various places, we saw this crack between Judah and the rest of the tribes. It would be a complicated conversation to repeat, go through all of the examples, but it's not a new phenomenon. Every time they go to war, they take a census of the army. There's so-and-so number of people from Israel, and there's so-and-so number of people from Judah. Mm. How many times that distinction has come up from Yeshua, Shoftim, and on? That's historical, and why that developed is a complex series of variables, but that is a reality. Part of it's geographic, they're in the south, they have different conflicts, different armies. Part of it is tribal conflicts and tensions, but in the end, this is the first official split kingdom. In the meantime, Ben Arbaim Shana Ishboshet Ben Shaul B'Malcho Yisrael. Ishbosheth is 40 years old when he reigned over Israel. Ushtaim shanim malach. Achbet Yudah yu achrei David. He reigned for 2 years, but the rest of Judah was following after David. Vayem ispar yamim asher haya David melech b'chevron al bet Yehudah sheva shanim v'shisha chodeshim. In total, David reigned in Chevron for 6, 7.5 years. Ultimately, in the death of Ishbosheth in chapter 3, will be the catalyst for the end of the civil war and the beginning of the reunification of the kingdom together. But David's intention remember when he sent a delegation out to Yavesh Gilad to say to them, thank you for burying Shaul and for giving him a kavod, but know that you're exposed to the plishtim, and I'll be happy to help if you need anything. Right, David, his intention was to unite the kingdom peacefully. That was not going to be possible anymore. Because the moment Avner ben Ner crowns Ishbosheth king over Saul's throne, there's no way that this kingdom is going to unite peacefully. Right, that's going to need to either be a split kingdom or a resolution of some kind.
Ishbosheth.
That's in Binyamin. So Ishbosheth is son of Shaul. Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin is part of the north. Binyamin is, at this point, Binyamin has always been part of the north. All the years of Shaul is from Binyamin. Now that's sort of the background. And we talked about Avner, I think, to last class we had, we talked about the why it takes him 5 years. Right? There's a 5 year, 7.5 year, 2 year discrepancy. On the one hand, David reigns for 7.5 years. On the other hand, Ishbosheth reigns for 2 years. And yet, the kingdoms unite when Ishbosheth dies. So that's a square peg in a round hole. So the simple explanation is that it says that he reigned for 2 years over all of Israel. He crowns him and he expands his territory in stages. Stage one is over the Gilad. Stage two is over Asher in the north. Stage three over Emek Yisrael. Stage four over Ephraim. Stage four over Binyamin. In other words, why does it take him stages? Why does it have to go through those stages? It's because Shaul and his sons died in the battle with the Plishtim. A battle in the Plishtim in which the Plishtim had conquered all the way up to Emek Yisrael. This whole region of the country is now overrun and controlled by the Plishtim. Which explains why Avner ben Ner has to take Ishbosheth and to run across the Jordan into a faraway place to crown him heir to the throne. This is all territory now controlled by the Plishtim in the aftermath of the battle on Har Gilboa. So the first 5 years aren't Ishbosheth and Shaul wearing the crown and running around from place to place waving and saying, are you loyal to me? That's not what's going on. What's going on is that for the first 5 years, Avner is trying to win back, is the general of the army. He's trying to win back the territory of the Plishtim and regain control over the Plishtim. So when it says that over the land of Israel, so when it says that he crowned him king over the Gilad, that's a kingdom in exile. Because king of Israel is not on the Gilad. King of Israel should be in Ephraim or Binyamin. Mm-hmm. If he's crowned him king over the Gilad, that's a kingdom in exile. But that's what he is. Because the Plishtim have overrun the country. And as the progression moves, he moves north, and he comes down from the south, which is not an uncommon way of reconquering the land. And slowly, Avner and his army brings Ishbosheth into the country by pushing the Plishtim back. This is not just the stages in which Ishbosheth takes the crown. This is stages in which Avner ben Ner is militarily fighting to regain control of the land of Israel. So he crowns him king, and then he begins the battle, and then he takes back the north, the area of Lebanon, and then he takes back Emek Israel, and then eventually Ephraim, and eventually all of Israel is regained under control of Ishbosheth because of the wars fought by Avner ben Ner. So we need to understand that the messaging here is, to a large degree, the extraordinary power and strength and success of Avner in retaking the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. Avner is a very powerful general, and compared to Ishbosheth, you would argue, what kind of king or what kind of person is Ishbosheth? We don't have a lot of information about him, but the little that we have from at this point is enough to describe him as somewhat of To be kind to him, I would say a passive king. If I was a little more blunt, I'd call him a bit of a wimp.
So is Avner running the show?
Avner is running the show. Yevoshet is a nothing. He's a nobody. He can't even fight next to his father on the battlefield.
You know, when Israel comes and seems to take over land and there's a foreign occupying power, a lot of times it seems that they're wiping out the towns or whatever.
You're talking about Yehoshua. That's 500 years ago. Sefer Yehoshua is 500 years ago.
Okay. So, when the Plishtim come in, what do they do with the Jewish population?
I'm fairly certain it's not a comfortable place to live. The Plishtim were known for being cruel. Look what they did to Shaul. Plishtim were not known for their benevolence. But that's not the reference. The Tanakh doesn't deal with those issues. Tanakh deals with the issues of sovereignty and control. It doesn't deal with the issue of the rank and file. It's a different subject.
Not fun for those years. For the rank and file, the peasants.
4 years or
Jewish peasants.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the 5 years of battle, and then ultimately the last 2.5 years, Ishbosheth is king in Binyamin. Right? I mean, Sheva Binyamin is his hometown. He's king over the northern kingdom, and David is in Hebron. And that's where the story now picks up. That's all background. So the first part of this parak, really from the beginning of the parak, David ascends the throne in Hebron, and Ishbosheth ascends the throne in Binyamin. But till we get to Ishbosheth, we have to take the circuitous route of understanding Avner ben Ner. Now we're here. Avner ben Ner in the north, Ishbosheth, let's say, in the north, General Avner ben Ner, and in the south is David. Who is David's chief general? Who is David's chief general? Avner ben Ner is
Yoav, correct.
Yoav ben Tsruya. They're very important names because they are the key players in the rest of the story. Okay, so we have David in Yehuda, and we have Ishbosheth ben Shaul in Israel. Those are the kingdoms. The generals who are running the show are Yoav ben Tsruya in Yehuda and Avner ben Ner in Sheva in Israel. Now, not uncommon. This is not a phenomenon that we are unfamiliar with. Your chief general was usually somebody you could trust, somebody you were close to, somebody who you were connected to. And in this case, that is not a surprise. Ishbosheth ben Shaul. Well, let's start with Shaul. Avner ben Ner was the general in Shaul's army. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
Shaul ben... Shaul ben... This you need to know. Keep it. It's kind of one of those names you got to memorize. Shaul ben Kish.
Okay.
Why is that relevant? We read it every year in the Megillah. Ish Yudia Yah b'Shishana Birah Ishmor Mordechai ben Shimi ben Yair Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben
Kish
Ishimini. That's the link that traces Mordechai to the lineage of Shaul. Shaul ben Kish. Why is that of any significance to us? Because Ner and Kish are brothers. So Shaul ben Ner, sorry, Shaul ben Kish and Avner ben Ner are cousins. Which means Ishbosheth and Avner also related.
Right.
But a generation down the ranks. So Avner is older. Avner is the uncle generation. Avner is the older statesman, the general, etc. Now, okay. On David's side, your general is a man by the name of Yoav ben Tzruya. We have already met Yoav ben Tzruya back in Perek in Shmuel Aleph. We met a few of his brothers as well. Do you remember another brother of his? We met a man by the name of Avishai ben Tzruya. Remember where we met Avishai ben Tzruya? Remember the story where David was in the field and Shaul was chasing after him? And first the story was in the cave. Uh-huh. David had the chance to kill Shaul and he refused to, although his men wanted him to. Then there was another story where Shaul was sleeping out in the cave, in the field, and David goes down in the middle of the night to the camp and steals Shaul's spear and water. And at that point in time, he said, who wants to come with me? And the person he took with him said to him at the moment, oh, why don't you kill him? And David was very angry at him, and he said, no. Remember that story? That's Avishai. If you look back in Perek Chaf, Vav, I believe. Yeah. Perek Chaf Vav, Pasuk, we're starting with Pasuk Hey. Vayakam David Vayavol HaMakom Asher Chana Shem Shu'u Vayar David Ad HaMakom Asher Shechav Shem Shu'u Avner Bener Sar Tzva'o. He saw his Shaul sleeping in the camp together with his general. Who's the general? Avner Bener. Vayan David Vayomer El Achimelech Achiti ve'el Avishai ben Tzruya Achi Yoav. Turn to Avishai ben Tzruya, brother of Yoav. And he said, Mi eredi ti, who wants to come down with me? Ve'yomer Avishai ani eredi mach. Avishai volunteered.
Do we know who Yoav is at that point?
So that's an interesting observation. Probably not, but the author assumed we did. Oh, that's all right. They come in the middle of the night. Shaul is sleeping there together with Avner. Pasuk Chet. Vayomer Avishai el David. Sigar Elohim ayomet oyivcha biyadecha. V'yata kenuna b'chanito v'aretz pam achat v'lo eshnelo. Avishai says to David, oh, the opportunity is here. Give me the spear, and in one fell swoop, I will spear him through the head and into the ground. He won't know it hit him. Vayomer David el Avishai, Al tashchiteu ki mi shalach yado b'mashiach Hashem v'nika. David gets very upset, and he says to him, no. Okay, he has a whole conversation with Avishai ben Tzruya. So we now are familiar with two of the sons of Tzruya, correct? Mm-hmm. We're about to meet the third.
You think Yoav is the second?
Yoav is the first. Abishai is the second. Okay. We're going to meet the third. His third, his name is Asael. I'm just looking for one additional story. Yeah. Take a look in Shmuel Bet Perek Tet Zion. Perek Tet Zion, 16. Jumping way forward into a whole different story, the aftermath of Dovin and Bathsheba, we have this little episode where a man comes out and he publicly curses David. Pasuk Hey. ובא המלך דוד על הבחורים, והנה משם איש יוצא ממשפחת בית שאול. ושמו שמעי בן גרה יוצא יצא ומקלל. Certain man from the house of Shaul, who he was, we'll see when we get to the story, comes out and he comes out cursing and throwing stones and act and everything he can to destroy David. David. And he sends stones hurtling at David and again and his people. Right, this is what Shimi said. Get out, you man of blood, you evil, worthless person, to David. God has paid you back for all of the blood of Shaul's household. How dare you reign in his stead? You're being punished, God is taking the kingdom away from you and giving it to Avshalom. This is the middle of the rebellion of Avshalom. Okay, how this came about is not our issue for now. The response to it is, Vayomer, Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Avishai ben Suya. You see where I am? Parak Tetzayim, Pasuk Tet. Vayomer Avishai ben Suya el HaMelech. So who responds in defense of David? Avishai ben Suya. Lama yikalel akelav amet hazeh et adoni ha-melech? Ebrana v'asira et rosho. My dear David, how do you tolerate such things? This man is nothing more than a living dog, or a dead dog. Give me a moment and I'll take care of this for you. I will just say the word and I will hand you his head. So this is the second time Avishai appears in the story, right? The first time is by Shaul and the second time is here. You get a message out of Avishai's mouth that you get a sense of who he is. There's only two conversations we ever have about him.
Killing first and ask questions later.
I'll kill Shaul for you in one fell swoop. I'll spear him through the head. Or, what are you letting this guy get away with it? Give me the authorization, then I'll take his head off for you. David's response is extraordinary. Vayomer HaMelech, Mali v'lachem b'nei Tzruya. What am I going to do with you, sons of Tzruya? Right, whatever. His response to the rest of the story is he lets Shimi ben Gera get away with it. But to Avishai ben Tzruya, his response is, it's an extraordinary phrase, Ma li v'lachem b'nei Tzruya. What am I going to do with you, b'nei Tzruya? You're uncontrollable. You're impetuous, tempestuous people. You can't control your temper. All you want to do is kill. Ma li v'lachem b'nei Tzruya. Right, so we'll see. Yoav is a very same story. Right? Yoav is even worse. Yoav is eventually will kill in cold blooded murder. Will kill Avner. We'll see that story in Paragimel. Yoav is not free of hands, and eventually, but David is stuck with Yoav, and he's stuck with Avishai. And you get a sense like, so why not just fire them? Why not just get rid of them? Yoav is his chief general, and he's a hothead, and he's uncontrollable. Avishai is the second down the line, and he's a hothead, and he's uncontrollable. at some point to another, David, you're the king. Why don't you just say, psst, goodbye?
Well, it seems like they're controllable. They don't take off, don't kill Shaul, they don't take off the
But they're a source of never-ending sorrows for David. Okay. Right? We'll see the aftermath of his murder of Avner, unauthorized. That's very complicated. But Nebuch, David stuck with them. Because blood is thicker than water.
They're related. And when you need somebody who's a little violent and you can trust, he's on your side, you stick with him a little bit.
Maybe, but I don't think that's the issue here. There's a third brother, by the way, we're going to meet in this parak in a second. His name is Asael ben Suya.
There's four.
Okay, there's three brothers. Yoav, Avishai, and Asael. Okay. We haven't met Asael yet. We're going to meet him now.
Okay.
All sons of Tsuya. Who is Tsuya?
The father.
Yeah.
In this case, not. In this case, the mother.
Because
what? Because Tsuya is David's sister.
Really?
Yeah. And I think I want to show you that pasuk. It's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Tsuya is David's sister.
No way.
So the same way that Shaul, that Avner ben Ner and Shaul are cousins, and it's all in the family, Yoav, Avishai, and Asael are all nephews of David. Ma'ami lachen b'nei Tzuya. What am I going to do with you, b'nei Tzuya? Right? But he can't get rid of them so fast because they are his nephews. So, like I said, it's all in the family. All right. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Which brings us to the story. Perek Bet Pasuk Yud Bet is where we're up to. Ankan, all of this was an introduction. Now the shiur begins. My goal for today is to see if we can get through the reading of the story of Perek Bet. How much of it we actually finished, I don't know, but we'll see. And the story is long, and it's made up of multiple pieces. So for the rest of today's shiur, more or less what I want to do is read and translate just to get the storyline. And then over the next couple of weeks, we'll kind of pull the pieces together. Vayetze Avner ben Ner ve'avdei Ishboshet ben Shaul mimachanayim Giv'ona. At some point or another, Avner ben Ner, together with the servants of Ishboshet, take the army, and they move it from Machanaim to Giv'on. V'yoav ben Suya ve'avdei David yatsu v'yivgushum al brechat Giv'on yachdav. And at the same time, Yoav ben Suya and the servants of David went, and they met at the pool of Giv'on, which is like the water source, the reservoir, or the like the Gihon, the Shiloh, a water tunnel, right? They met.
Where am I?
Where are you? You're in Givon.
Givon.
Okay. Givon is the same place where the Givonim is if Yeshua come to Yeshua to disguise themselves and convince them, right? And Givon is more or less today the area of Telstar. Just north of Yerushalayim, but it's in the heart of Shevet Binyamin. So there are the two forces, the forces of Avner on the one hand and the forces of Ishboshet, of Yoav on the other, meet at this place called Brechat HaBrecha Shebe Givon. Vayeshvu Ela al HaBrecha Mizeh ve'Ela al HaBrecha Mizeh. And each of these armies is standing on either side of this water pool, controlling water of the city of Givon. This is a battle for control of the city. Whoever controls the water sources controls the city itself. Mm-hmm. And there's a standoff. Why is there a standoff? Why is there a standoff? Slug it out, finish the job, declare victory one side or the other, and you're done. Why is there a standoff? Right? Either because both sides are, there's only two possibilities for a reason for a standoff. Either because both sides are
equally
matched, and they don't want to start up with each other. It's called what's the doctrine of mutual destruction or something? Right? Wasn't that the Cold War philosophy? Right? equally matched. Or, alternatively, what's the other possibility?
Equally weak.
Or equally...
The boss says, don't go and get into town and get into trouble. I want things to be quiet for the next week or two.
Why? Either because there's two sides equally matched, or because neither side has the stomach for it. Remember, let us not forget that we're talking about a civil war, brother against brother. Okay. Much later in history, the two kingdoms are split in such a way that they're like two separate nations. But at this point in time, they're really talking about brother against brother. There's a real sense of family connection between the tribes. So either way, either because they're equally matched or because they're equally war-averse, there's a standoff. Vayomer Avner el Yoav. So Avner and Yoav come together and they have a conversation. Avner says to Yoav, Yakumu na ha'ne'arim v'yisachaku lefanenu. Vayomer Yoav, Yakumu. Avner says, I'll make you a suggestion. Why don't you send a couple of your lads, and I'll send a couple of my lads, and let them play. Meaning, they're not playing board games. They're not playing Risk. They're not playing Clue. Right, what are they playing? They're going to duel it out. They're going to duke it out. They're going to duel, sword duel, and one side will be victorious, and whichever side is victorious will declare victory. We've seen this kind of battle before. Very famously. Say it again.
David and Goliath.
It's exactly the suggested battle plan of Goliath. Two sides, Israel and the Plishtim, on either side of Emekaila. Why do we have to sit here and battle it? I'm your champion. I'm the Plishtim's champion. You send me your champion, and we'll duke it out. And whichever side will win, the other side will declare eternal servitude. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's exactly the same battle. Krav Beinayim. A battle of representatives. Why bother everybody in this battle? You take the best you've got. I'll take the best I've got. We'll send them into duel. Whichever side wins, the rest of the army will surrender. Mutual agreement. So they agreed. Vayakumu v'yavru b'mispar 12 levin yamin ule ishboshet ben Shaul 12 me'avdei David. 12 from each side. Slight variation on the story of David and Goliath is that instead of one from each side, you have 12 from each side. Why 12?
12 tribes.
12 tribes. Representative body of the totality of the Jewish people. Very nice. Except the 12 has a danger that one doesn't have. What? With 12, it's more dangerous than one. Why? There's a greater likelihood of a survivor, a victor, and a vanquished if the duel is one-on-one.
Right.
If the duel is 12-on-12, you run a greater risk of
mutual
annihilation. Correct. And that's exactly what happens. Ayachaziku ish b'rosh ve'eyu v'charbo b'tzad ve'eyu. Each one grabbed the other one's head and stabbed him in the chest. Meaning, I'm chopping off this guy's head and he's piercing me in the chest. End result, we both died. So by the time this battle is over, of the 12 against 12, how many survived?
Zero.
That just means... And therefore, what's the consequences, right? If they, by the time the last man falls, what happens to the rest of the army? You've seen the movie. You've seen this in movies, right? You negotiate the treaty, you negotiate the crowd, but they both fall, and then the rest of the army goes charging. It doesn't take much, right? The rest of the army is just waiting for a victor. The moment there's no victor, the moment they all die, right, the moment they all come back dead, and the army just goes charging forward. And so it started as a krav beinayim, which started as an attempt of two sides to kind of have a symbolic victory and not have to worry about killing people, ended up being a full-blown, all-out battle between the forces of David and the forces of Ishbosheth. They named the place the portion of the sword, the fate of the sword, the chalkat hatsubi. Pasuk Yud Zayin, vati amilchama kasha ad meod bayom hahu. That triggered a battle that was a devastating, difficult battle. In the end, however, in the end, however, there was a victor and a vanquished. Who was the victor? David. Yoav and the forces of David. Who is vanquished? Who is defeated? Avner and the forces of Ishbosheth. Vayusham. That's part one of the story, by the way. Part one ends at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay. Introduction, Krav Beinayim, this intermediary battle. Suggested by Avner, that becomes important later on. Mutual annihilation of the two sides, 12 against 12. By that time, they start a major battle, and the eventual victor will be David. Part 2. Pasuk Yudchet. Vayusham shlosha b'nei tsuya. In the midst of all of this, we should know that in this battlefield were the three sons of Tsuya. Yoav, Avishai, Asael. They are your three sons. And if they are together in a battle, then you know that... trouble is brewing. So Yoav and Avishai we've already met. Today we meet Asael. Asael kal b'raglav ke'echad hatzvayim asher basadeh. Each one had a unique strength. Yoav was the general, Avishai is the hothead, Asael is the speedster. Asael is quick on his feet, as quick as they come, like a deer of the field. That gives him a unique advantage, which is, if your enemy starts to run,
you can outrun him.
You can outrun him, you can pursue. So when the battle goes awry for Avner and his forces out in Bercha Shebe Givon, Avner starts to retreat. So what do you think Asael does? Vayirdof Asael acharei Avner. V'lo natal alechet ayel yamin v'al asmol mi'acharei Avner. Like a smart missile chasing its target, Asael is running after Avner and will not veer from its path, right or left. Avner moves right, Asael chases him to the right. Avner moves left, Asael chases him to the left. This is a man-to-man defense, or offense. Right? Asael pursuing Avner. So in the midst of this pursuit, Avner turns to Asael and he has a whole conversation with him. Vayifen Avner acharav. Avner turns around while he's running. Vayomer, he says to Asael, Hataz Asael? Is that you, Asael? Vayomer Anochi, he says, it is I. Vayomer lo Avner. Avner says to Asael, he begs him, he warns him, he tells him, Netelecha yemincha al smalecha. Asael, go right, go left, just get away from me. You want to pursue? You want some kind of trophy from this battle? Go grab the first soldier you see and take his uniform. Just leave me alone. Asael wasn't buying it, and he did not veer from his pursuit of Avner. He's clearly intending on killing him. So tries again. Vayosef od Avner. This time he's a little more direct, a little less obscure in his comment. And he says to him, Lemoy el Asael, Asael, sur lecha me'acharai. Stop pursuing me. Why not? Why? Lama akeka artzecha. Artza. Why should I have to kill you? Ve'ech esafanai et Yoav achicha. If I kill you, I will never be able to face your brother Yoav again. Because Yoav will never rest if I kill his younger brother. So I'm telling you now, Asael, for your own good, stop this pursuit, because if you don't, I will have to kill you. Now, it's an ironic statement, because who's pursuing whom?
Asael's pursuing Yoav.
Asael's pursuing Yoav, and Asael's faster than Yoav. And then Avner. So Asael is going to catch up to Avner. And Avner warns him, you don't want to pursue this. You don't want to finish this, because if you catch me, I'm going to have to kill you. And I really don't want to have to kill you, because then I'll never be able to face your older brother. He'll never speak to me again.
Maybe Avner is slower, but stronger.
Oh. Clearly, Avner is a very advanced, very successful, very skilled warrior who has been Shaul's main chief general for all of the years of Malchut Shaul, who has just spent the last 5 years battling back the Plishtim. And this is not a man you trifle with. And Asael, with all of his speed, is trifling with Avner. And Avner twice warns him, don't do this. You don't want to do this. You catch up to me, I'm going to kill you. And the irony is, the reason he doesn't want to kill him,
because he can't speak to his brother.
Because he has to face his counterpart, who is Yoav. And as much as they're on the other opposite sides of the battlefield, but you can see that there's an element of respect and conversation between the two generals. He doesn't want to be guilty of killing the general's brother. Rank and file soldier lowly soldier in the rank and file, Mela. Okay, but the general or the... look what happens when you take out the general of a foreign power. There are certain rules of engagement that you pay the consequences. One of them is killing the general or the general's brother. Vayimaen lasur. Asael refused to step down, and so he catches up to him, and Nebuch, poor Avner, he's going to have to kill him. Vayakeu Avner ba'achari hachanit el hachomesh. So Avner thrusts backwards with the hilt of his sword, ba'achari hachanit, the hilt of his spear, el hachomesh, through the chest, through the armor, with such force that he thrusts through the armor, through the chest, and out the back of Asael with the hilt of his sword.
I'm sorry, what's the hilt?
The handle.
So the handle, there's right. You got the
where
sword,
you hold it,
and then the handle, and there's something. There's like a.
But it's not sharp. It's blunt.
It's blunt.
No, it's blunt. It's the handle that you hold on to. Mm-hmm. Right. So with that handle, at the chanit, he thrust backwards because he didn't have time to turn around and spear him with the front of the sword. So he threw the sword backwards, and with the blunt end, pierced Asael through his armor and through the back. To get a sense of how strong Avner was and how much of a toothpick Asael was. Vayamot, vayposham, vayamot tachtav. And instantly Asael died. But his form of death was so gruesome, it was so dramatic, that vayhi kol habal ha-makom asher nafal sham Asael vayamot, vayamodu. Anybody in pursuit in that battle who reached that place and saw the death of Asael was so shocked that vayamodu, they just couldn't continue the pursuit. They stopped in their tracks. Vayirdefu Yoav v'Avishai acharei Avner. Continuing the story, Yoav and Avner are now in pursuit and Avishai are now in pursuit of Avner. V'Hashemesh ba'a, the sun set. So that's part two of the story we just finished. Now we do part three. V'Hashemesh ba'a, והמה באו עד גבעת עמה אשר על פני גיח דרך מדבר גבעון. They reach a certain hill, the wilderness outside of Givon. והתקבצו בני בנימין אחרי אבנר, והיו לאגדה אחת. So kind of all the forces, the sun is setting, you can't really run in the, at night time, there's no electricity, there's no street lights. Once the sun sets, your battle flight is over. So now you have to gather together for a final stand. So Bnei Binyamin gathered around Avner to kind of defend him in a final stand, because now they're going to get caught up. Right? Yoav is going to catch him. Vayamdu al rosh givachat. Vayikra Avner el Yoav. So at that point, Yoav catches up to him, and Avner calls out to him. They have a whole conversation. Avner says to him, Pasuk Havav, Vayomer, Hala netzach tochal cheref? Is the sword going to consume forever? Meaning, at some point or another, what are we going to kill each other off? Halo yadata, ki marati ba'achona. In the end, it's going to be miserable. Va'ad matai lo tama la'am la'shuv machrei acheihem. And how long are you going to pursue before you tell your people, your followers, to stop pursuing their brothers? I said earlier at the beginning of the year that as much as they're at war with each other, there's still a sense that this is brother against brother. And Avner is playing at the heartstrings. Avner knows he's in a position of weakness. Yoav has been pursuing him. He's been on the retreat. And they've reached the last stand. The last stand. The sun is set. They're on the hill. They're surrounded by Yoav's forces. So he makes an impassioned plea to Yoav. This is war, brother against brother. What do we need it for? How long is the sword going to consume us? Halanetzach tochacher. Vayomer Yoav. Now, Yoav's response. Chaya Elokim. By the living God. Ki leit barta ki az me'abokir na'ala ha'am ish me'achanei achiv. If you wanted the people to stop pursuing the brothers, you should have kept your mouth shut this morning. If you hadn't opened your big mouth this morning, we wouldn't have had this battle. To what is he referring? The duel. The duel was Avner's suggestion. So think about this sequence of events. They come to Brechav Shebegivon. There's a standoff. Avner suggests to Yoav the duel. Yoav agrees. They annihilate each other. Yoav's forces get all angry and they start to pursue. The battle does not go well for Avner. Avner starts to retreat. Yoav pursues. Avner kills us along the way. They finally reach this Giv'ah. And there's a final stand. They surround Avner. And Avner says, brother against brother. Why are we killing each other? And Yoav says, where were you this morning, brother against brother? This whole thing started because you made the suggestion. But, to their credit, Vayitka Yoav bashafar, Vayamdu kol ha'am, Velo yirdufu od acharei Yisrael, Velo yasfu od leilachem. To their credit, the sense that this was a battle that was unnecessary prevails, and Yoav calls it off.
Goes against his nature.
We don't necessarily know Yoav's nature yet, but of the three, he's probably the most rational, which is why he's the general, and the other two are just the hotheads. V'Avner v'Anashav halchu ba'arava kol ha'layla ha'hu. Now they go home. Avner took his forces, and they traveled through the Arava all night long. V'Yavru at ha'Yarden, crossed over the Jordan. V'Yalchu kol ha'bitron, they went throughout the path of the valley between them. V'Yavo ha'machanai, and eventually they come back to their base, which is in Machanai. And at the same time, V'Yoav shav me'achanei Avner. So Avner went back to Machanayim, And Yoav went back to
Hebron.
Vayikbot et kol ha'am, gathers all the people together. Vayipakdu, and they take a census. Vayipakdu me'avdei David tish'a asar v'asael. They took an account and they found that of the forces of Israel, how many were unaccounted for? How many fell in this battle? Answer, 19 plus Asael, one of the generals. The Avdei David, Hikum Binyamin uvanshe Avner, 360 ish, mate. But the other side of Avner, they had lost 360 in total. So it's clearly an imbalance. Yoav's forces were clearly stronger and impressive. They took Asael, they buried him in the family plot of Bethlehem. They went as Avner was traveling all night long to get back to Machanaim. Yoav was traveling from Givon through the night to come back to Hebron. They reached Hebron by the light of day. Pasuk Gimel, Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph is the last paragraph of the same story. In the paragraph division of Tanakh, it's the same parak. Vatiyah mechama avuka ben Beit Shaul uven Beit David. This starts a long battle, 7.5 years long, between the forces of Yoav and the forces of Avner, between the people of the followers of Beit Shaul and the followers of Beit David. But in the end, David holech v'chazek, uvet Shaul holechim v'dalim. In the end, Shaul's forces became diminished and thinner as David's forces grew. That's not just because of the numbers that fall on the battlefield. That's because as the time progresses, more and more of the people shift their loyalty to David.
Read from the other tribe.
From the other. The truth is, they were always loyal to David. David was always the more popular one. David was always the more charismatic one. David was who fought at Shaul's side and who fought on behalf of Shaul. Sometimes they're forced into political sides, but they don't have the stomach for it. So as the initial division wears off, the loyalty of the house of David begins to grow, and the loyalty to the house of Shaul begins to diminish.
David's anointment as king was done in private. So it's not, how is it a publicly known thing? Did Shmuel HaNavi do it? I mean,
at that time it was done by Shmuel HaNavi, but at what point it becomes public is unclear, but certainly at this point he's already king in Hebron, and he spent the last number of years fighting Israel's battles on behalf of Israel. And there's a lot. It's not about the anointing, it's about the loyalty. And the loyalty of the people is clearly to David. Always has. That's the story. There's a lot of pieces of the story we need to look at, this duel and who started it, and the role of Avner in the story, the role of Yoav in the story, ultimately, why are they in Givon in the first place, how did they get to Givon, why Givon?
The territory is Binyamin, so that belongs to...
So why is Yoav even there? And there's a lot of mystery in this parak, including, like, where's David in this whole story? So there's a lot of pieces of the story that we need to explore. We will sort it out, B'ezrat Hashem, over the next few weeks. But for today, I wanted to read it through.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.